Thank you, Gail. We are looking at the second part of 1 Samuel chapter 14, and here we are looking at verses 24 up to 52. And the theme here is Saul's oath. So the study for today focuses on Saul's oath, which told the people of Israel. It looks at Jonathan's error through ignorance and Saul's determination to put him to death in spite of him being his son. However, the people of Israel rescued him. The study ends with Saul battling with the neighboring tribes and an account of his family. So let's start with Saul's rash vow. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul has adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eats any food until evening, that I may avenge on my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. As indicated in the previous study, Saul and the men of Israel with him represent the church system of this world or Babylon. According to Brown Driver Bridges dictionary, the men of Israel being distressed that day means being under a taskmaster, ruler, oppressor, or tyrant. This oppressor or tyrant is the devil who empowers our flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 says, "And they worship the dragon," that's the devil, "which gave power to the beast," that's our flesh. "And they worship the beast, saying, 'Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?'" Here in verse 24, we are given the reason why the men of Israel were under stress or under bondage. It was because they had been commanded not to eat food until the evening, when Saul, their king, had avenged his enemies. Not to eat food spiritually means that the men of Israel represent us during our time in the church system of this world or Babylon, where we are not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 15 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speak thou unto them in parables?' And he answered and said unto them, 'Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's hearts is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts, and they should convert it, and I should heal them." Our brothers and sisters in Babylon's inability to understand, our brothers and sisters in Babylon, inability to understand the word of the Lord is because their leadership, represented by Saul, has put a curse on them not to eat any food. That is to say that the leadership of Babylon are not given to know the truth of the word, and therefore what they give, the false doctrines, prevents them from knowing the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." This case will continue until the evening, when Saul has avenged his enemies. The evening refers to the lake of fire age of judgment, when our brothers and sisters in Babylon will come to know the truth. That will be the time when their flesh, or carnal mind, that's the enemy, is destroyed or avenged. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Just in reference to the fact that it is during the lake of fire that the world will learn righteousness. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. And all they of the land came to the wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. These verses are to show us that initially the church system of this world of Babylon was endowed with the fundamental truth of the Lord's word, represented here as honey. However, because of false doctrines spewed by their leaders, signified by Saul's command for the people not to eat, even the basic truth of his word were perverted, such that we could not access the milk and honey of the Lord's word in Babylon. Exodus chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and the Hittites, and the Ammonites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Isaiah 9, 15 and 16 says, "The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of these people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 13 to 17. "This was thou decked with gold and silver, as the honey that was dripping, but they could not access it. And thy raiment was of fine linen and silver and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. But thou didst trust in thy own beauty and play the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. Yes, it was. And of any garment that they take, and deck thy high places with diverse colors, and played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewel of my gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and made to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them." So this is all describing the situation that the Israelites were in, where honey dropped, where they can't drink, they can't take it. They were under a curse not to eat. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27 to 30. "But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eats any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father has troubled the land. See, I pray you, how my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" As we have indicated in the previous study, Jonathan represents the Lord's elect during our time in the church system of this world. The fact that Jonathan did not hear his father's words and proceeded to eat of the honey implies that as the Lord's elect, the Lord in his mercy caused us to eat of the honey of his word, even whilst we were in Babylon, which causes our eyes to be enlightened. In verse 28, one of the people told Jonathan about how his father had cursed anyone who eats any food that day, and therefore caused the people to be faint. This is to let us know that it was in Babylon that we become aware that the leaders in the church system are the cause of our inability to know the truth of his word. In verse 29 and 30, Jonathan's assessment of his father's error is summed up by his word that his father has troubled the land and that their inability to achieve a greater slaughter of the Philistines was because of the lack of the foundational truth of the Lord's word. In other words, it is in Babylon that we come to realize that our leaders have failed us. And as a result, we cannot worship the Lord acceptably whilst we continue in Babylon. This is all in preparation for our exit from Babylon at the appointed time. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 22 says, these are wells without water. Talking about the leaders of the church system, they are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great words of vanity, they are led through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Psalm 137 also talks about what this, our situation where we were in the churches of this world. From verse 1 to 4 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us out away captive requires us of a song. And they that wasted us requires us with saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Simply saying, we cannot worship the Lord in truth and in spirit whilst we are in the church system of this world. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 31 to 33. And they smote the Philistines that day from Mishmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. The smiting of the Philistines from Mishmash to Ajalon by the people of Israel in verse 31 is to let us know that whilst we were in the churches of this world, we were given some victories over our flesh. For example, we were delivered from some of the attributes of the flesh, such as fornication, adultery, hatred, wrath, envy, etc., as shown in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and as I've told you in time past, that they will do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The people taking sheep, oxen, and calves, killing them and eating them with the blood in verse 32 was forbidden by the Lord. The reason why the Israelites were forbidden under the law of Moses to eat meat with blood is because blood was used as atonement for sin, and therefore blood was seen as a sacred thing. God wanted to ensure that the blood of the sacrifices were always considered precious. Was always considered precious. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 15 to 16. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in any in all thy gates, whosoever thy soul lust after, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the lubbock and as of the heart. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. If we willingly continue to sin, then it means that we have treated the blood of Christ as an unholy thing. That is the spiritual meaning of eating meat with blood. Therefore, the people eating meat with blood, and it shows us that during our time in Babylon, we continue to sin, even though we were enriching him. As a result, we were actually trampling on the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 29 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorrow punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Verse 33 shows us that the leaders of the church system of this world are aware of the sins of the people of the church system of this world, but their method of addressing sin is wrong, and we shall see Saul's way of dealing with the sins of the people. 1 Samuel chapter 14, 34, verse 36. "And Saul said, Disperse yourself among the people and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord, and the same was the first altar that he has built unto the Lord. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatever seems good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near either unto God." Saul dealing with the people, that sin was not in accordance with what the Lord enjoins us to do. We are to remove those who sin publicly, that others may be afraid. However, he only asks the people to come and slay their oxen and sheep before him so that they do not sin. Spiritually, what Saul is saying was that the gathering of the church system of this world automatically causes the people to stop sinning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Before I read this, you know, in the church system, they believe that, I mean, they don't really talk about progressively addressing, I mean, that sin is addressed through judgment or whatever. All they think about is that, as you continue in fellowship and everything will go away. I mean, because they think that, if I can't, I'm not in adultery, I don't hate anybody, I don't do this, I don't do this, then I am righteous. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." In verses 35 and 36, Saul built an altar to the Lord, and based on this, he wanted to go after the Philistines and destroy them. But the priest reminded him to draw near to the Lord first. The leaders of the church system of this world, represented by Saul, are only interested in works, building churches, and think that in doing this, their flesh will just die. That is to say that in Babylon, the people think that the works of their hands will save them from their flesh. However, the priest reminded Saul to draw near to the Lord is to show us that what is important is our relationship with Christ as we draw near to him. It is not about the works of our hands. Jesus warned us about those who think that the works of their hands can guarantee the kingdom of heaven as follows. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 37 to 39. And Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go after the Philistines? Would thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, draw ye near either all the chiefs of the people, and know and see wherein this sin has been this day. For as the Lord lives, which saved Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Saul, not being answered by the Lord in verse 37, shows us our situation when we were in the churches of this world. We did not hear from the Lord. As we shall see in the latter part of the book of Samuel, Saul inquired of the Lord because of the Philistines, but did not receive an answer from the Lord. That is in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 5 and 6. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. In our desperation, we vent our anger on the Lord's elect, signified by Saul vowing to kill Jonathan in verse 39. We, the Lord's elect, are spiritually dead to our brothers and sisters in Babylon, just like the two witnesses whose dead bodies were in the streets of Jerusalem or Sodom and Egypt. Revelation chapter 11, chapter 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 40 to 45. Then said he unto all Israel, be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seems good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lot between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said unto Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. And lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. As shown in these verses, lots were cast, which determined that Jonathan was guilty of eating, while Saul had given a command for them not to eat until he has avenged his enemies. In this case, Saul's command is the command of the Lord. We know that the outcome of a lot is always of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. As we have shown earlier, Jonathan is a symbol of the Lord's elect. During our time as the Lord's elect in Babylon, we were guilty of not knowing the word of the Lord, and therefore we should have been put to death. You know, the sins that we committed was that because we didn't know, really. As shown in verse 45, the people rescued Jonathan from death at the hands of Saul. In the same way, the Lord rescued or showed mercy to us, his elect, from Babylon at the expense of our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 says, "For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all." 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 46. Then Saul went up from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Saul, who represented the justice of this world, stopped pursuing the Philistines and went to his own place. That is to show us that whilst we were in Babylon, we were not engaged in a war with our flesh. It also implies that we did not consider ourselves as being able to win the war with our flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who can fight against it?" Saul fights Israel's enemies. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 47 and 48. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines. Whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. These verses show us our struggle with the flesh during our time in the churches of this world. We have some victories over our flesh in certain areas of our lives, as indicated in verse 48, where Saul and his host smote the Amalekites. However, the flesh symbolized by all the enemies surrounding Israel, that is the Moab, the Ammon, Edom, kings of Zeba, and the Philistines and the Amalekites, it was still a formidable opposition during our walk in Babylon. And even now it is, but by grace of God, he's given us the victory day in and day out. Romans. Romans chapter 9, verse 14 to 25. "For we know the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God, and with my mind and with my flesh, I serve the law of sin." And this is all showing us, our struggle with our flesh, just as Saul was struggling, was fighting the Moabites, the Ammonites, Amalekites, and all those what they call enemies. But he only had a limited victory. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 49 to 52. "Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishwi and Michashua. And the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the first born, Merab, and the name of the younger, Mishal. And the name of Saul's wife, Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of the host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abel. And there was Saul war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto himself." This verse focuses on Saul's family and the enmity between Saul and the Philistines. Saul had three sons: Jonathan, which means Jehovah has given; Ishwi, He resembles me. And Melchishua, my king is salvation. What this implies is that to be like Christ, who was given by God as our salvation, we must go through the process of spiritual maturity, which is through the Lord's judgment. The two daughters of Saul, Merab, which means increase, and Michal, which means who is like God, show us the two church systems. We have the church system of this world, which is given to increase in this age, and the other church system, which represents the church of the Lord's elect, which is making us become like Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 25 to 27. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an ancestor to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she, which has a husband. It is in the church of the Lord's elect, represented by Saul's wife, Ahinoam, which means my brother is delight, that we come to enjoy the delightfulness of our brothers and sisters through what every joint supplies. Ephesians 4, 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The commander of Israel's army's name was Abner, which means the father of light or enlightening. It is through the Lord's enlightening that we become enrolled in his army. Case we Saul's father means a bow. This implies that our father or our Lord is a warrior. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 52 tells us that there was a sore war against the Philistines during all the time of Saul as king of Israel. This is to show us that our fight against our flesh is a lifetime struggle. However, unlike Saul, we, as the Lord's elect, are assured of victory in the final analysis. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.